Hi, welcome to Lambert Park Church. Our vision is life with God for the world. Our mission is to invite everyone to follow Jesus with us through redemptive community, intentional discipleship, and everyday mission. We're so glad you're here. Stay tuned for the podcast coming right up.
Aloha, friends. I'm wearing a mask today because I'm not feeling stellar, but I just got back from a trip and so wanted to be with you today. But wanted to love you enough to wear a mask, so I am wearing a mask. You know, this month we've been having guest speakers. Last couple weeks we've had Steve Mayers, Dr. Steve Mayers, a local astrophysicist who loves Jesus. It's been a gift to have him. Next Sunday we have David Anderson, yes, relative of mine, one of my first cousins, who I love. He and his wife are going to come over from South Surrey. They are the co-directors of ARASHA, which is a Christian conservation organization. And he'll be speaking. I have no idea yet what he's speaking on, but it'll be great. And today we are privileged to have Sharon Berg with us. Sharon has been a pastor in our city, a worship pastor at Friendship for many years, and maybe other roles. Did you have other roles there? Or were you always
there?
Worship?
Was a few. Worship, okay. Women's, bit of formation okay. Stuff, yeah.
So I met Sharon years ago when I was pastoring with the same denomination that church is a part of, and we'd come over for events at their church, and I'd see Sharon leading us in worship. But then pivoted a few years back and now is a local counselor in our city. And some of us, myself, appreciate her as our counselor. So we're privileged to have Sharon today. I want to pray for you.
Thank you.
And then let you speak, invite you.
Okay, thanks.
Jesus, thank you so much for opening your life to us. We don't sit here today with a distant God up in the heavens, closed off to us. Miracle of the gospel, you have come to make yourself known to us, to open the embrace of the Father, Son, and Spirit to us, and invite us in, and let us know you. Heart and soul and mind and strength, to know your love, to know your grace, to know your presence, to know your work. So we give you Sharon today. She comes. She has sought you. We trust that. And we ask, God, that you would open us up to hear and receive your word through her today. She is your servant. We are your servants. We bow before you. We are hungry for you. So come lead her. Come and lead us to yourself. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning. I loved that worship time. Simon, I'm not sure where you are. That hymn of surrender, I hadn't heard that before, but that was so beautiful, and just hearing everybody sing it was beautiful today. When Scott, your pastor, sent me a message about today, it was a week before Christmas, and a couple weeks before Christmas, and the end of January, it really seemed like a long way away. And he caught me in a week when I was reading this new Advent book this year by Rich Velotis, which I was really enjoying, and the reading a day or two around the time of that email was saying something about saying yes to God's invitations. So I was already just kind of thinking about saying yes to things, and it totally kind of made sense in real life to say yes to this. But I kind of forgot that I don't really speak in front of groups all that often anymore. As a counselor, my work is mostly one-on-one, and with that, I just kind of noticed it's been interesting to see, you know, just some of the familiar fear and anxiety that come up. So I have this morning these kind of two parts, this collision. On one side, saying yes to God's invitation, and the other side saying, what were you thinking? You're totally terrified. Anyway, no, I am that disclaimer out of the way. I am so excited to be here, and I really do feel honored to be in your midst. It's really cool to visit different churches and just go, God is doing stuff in this city in so many ways, in so many forms and congregations, and I love that. So since we don't know each other, probably I thought I'd tell you a few things about me. I'm Sharon, married to Randy, and he came along, which is so kind of him today. We've got three sons, three daughter-in-laws, three little granddaughters, and a grandbaby, which we're told is a boy, wild, on the way, so that's pretty exciting. I want to show you a couple photos just as a way to get to know them. We usually take kind of a fun family photo each year. So that one is the denim era, and really, honestly, it's meant to be ridiculous. I know it's ridiculous. It's meant to be ridiculous on the ladder. And then the other one is the basketball era, and I think it's partly because we loved the game, And partly because we obviously collected way too many basketball jerseys over the years. Even our dogs were in jerseys for that photo. And then the third is this last year's summer vacation, and it happened kind of spontaneously. Some of our kids had initiated a tie-dye event, and then we've got this donut floaty that always comes along every summer. So that was the impetus for that. We love spending time with these people. We love them. You might know some of them, although it's kind of hard to tell. For work, I'm a counselor, and I have the privilege of just being invited into people's lives, and I spend a lot of time listening to stories, making space, as we call it, for whatever comes up, reflecting, sometimes asking questions that might give insight to experiences and feelings. I love my work. I'm so grateful to get to do it at this time in my life, although I'm not totally sure if Randy loves when I bring counseling strategies home. And I'm like, okay, how are you feeling? How do you feel about how you're feeling? Shifting to here and now, the topic was given to me was pretty open. So in preparation, I looked back at what God had kind of been saying to me in 2025. Usually as a morning practice, I try to write things down in a journal. Maybe that's a few words. It might be like worship lyrics that I wake up with. Maybe it's some verses that stand out, prayers. And in looking back, I noticed a couple of recurring themes. And these included God's gracious and encompassing presence, his expansive, inexhaustible love, and his invitations in ordinary moments. I want to spend a little bit of time today looking at these themes and explore how they relate to our regular, ordinary life. If you've been around the church for a minute or a little bit more, you probably know these aren't exactly new concepts. But for me, these are foundational parts of my faith, and they often intersect with my work and my life and my relationships. And in a culture where many people feel alone, disconnected, abandoned, unlovable, invisible, the idea that there's a God who loves, accepts, restores, finds, gathers, and invites people feels welcome and valuable. My prayer today is that we might be reminded that God loves us with a love that is deeper than anything we could ever measure, that his presence is a promise we can stake our lives on, and that this unfailing, borderless love can profoundly shape how we live, how we connect with others, how we respond to his invitations, how we live our ordinary lives. So before we read these passages, I just want to invite you to reflect, what does it mean to you that God is present with you, that his love is uncontainable? What's your story? Where have you been? Where are you going? What's the impact of his love? And is there anything you sense him inviting you to do? So we're going to read this first passage from the Message. I'm going to grab a drink. And this is Psalm 139. I think it's going to be on the screen over a couple of screens. I chose the Message just because I love the wording on it. God, investigate my life. Get all the facts firsthand. I'm an open book to you. Even from a distance, you know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back. I'm never out of your sight. You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. I look behind me and you're there. Up ahead and you're there too. Your reassuring presence coming and going, this is too much. It's too wonderful. I can't take it in. Is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit, to be out of your sight? If I climb to the sky, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. If I flew in the morning's wings to the far western horizon, you'd find me in a minute. You're already there, waiting. And then I said to myself, oh, he even sees me in the night. At night, I'm immersed in the light. It's a fact. Darkness isn't dark to you. Night and day, darkness and light, they're all the same. You shaped me, first inside, and then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God, you're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made bit by bit, how I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to growth to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I even lived one day. I read these verses and I think about the idea that God exists beyond time and space, yet is present in this moment that is now, this morning, that he knew about this day long before any of us ever experienced it, that each day, in a sense, is situated on this timeline of eternity, this one day. It's never happened before, it'll never come again. So perhaps the decisions and the moments in our ordinary lives matter. How true does that feel? How much does it resonate with you that the God of the universe would come alongside you in your everyday life and tell you that he's with you, that he knows that what you're carrying right now might be a lot, and that you can trust him to stay with you in the middle of it? He is with you here and in your unknown future. And the word tells us he can be trusted with all of it. In my work, we regularly talk about thoughts, feelings, experiences. We also talk about the fear of the unknown, anxiety. And maybe this feels familiar to some of you. I know it is to me. Something's coming up. It might be an exam, medical appointment, a social trip, a date, a trip. And you start thinking about all the possible things that could ever possibly happen, all the what ifs, all the things that could go wrong. It happens almost automatically. We might actually overestimate the threat and at the same time underestimate our capacity to handle that threat that we perceive or imagine. The human brain is pretty good at producing this infinite loop of potential outcomes on repeat. And we might get stuck in this continuous thought. If any of you are overthinkers, you might go, I know something about that. Kind of like, I don't know, like deepening snow tracks on a mountain. I don't ski, but I know what tracks are like in snow. Hard to get out of unless something changes. So I'm going to go down kind of the brain pathway for a minute. Science seems to show us that repeated thoughts strengthen brain pathways. This can be true in negative and positive ways. Most of us are familiar by now with algorithms. We're told that the algorithm becomes what it's trained to repeat. It figures out what we like to look at, and it provides more of the same. Unless we interrupt it, introduce new content, or find a new pathway. So recently, Randy and I, we experienced this in kind of a surprising way. He could not figure out why his phone wasn't showing sports anymore. It seemed to be replaced with posts about psychology and the arts and fashion and home stuff and whatever. So somehow, I don't know what happened, we assumed one of us must have somewhere at some point in time logged into the other's account, maybe on a phone or a computer or something. And he was like, where are the Canucks? Which currently, he tells me, is a valid question. Yes? And why am I seeing posts about couples counseling? What are you trying to tell me? Our brains are a little bit similar in some ways. What we focus on in kind of the most ordinary moments of our life impacts how we think. The brain pathways. It's almost kind of like our brain is running its own algorithm. We might ask, does the Bible speak to the reality of how we're wired? Is it relevant? This passage tells us that God knows us. Therefore, he knows our racing thoughts, he knows how we're made, and he invites us to look at him. The book of Hebrews talks about fixing our eyes on Jesus. The verses we read reminds us that he is present here and now in our ordinary moments. We are not in the future where we have no control. We're not in the past that we can't change. We're here. And these verses say, I look behind me and you're there, then up ahead, and you're there too. Your reassuring presence, coming and going. The NIV says, if I go there, even there, your hand will guide me, will hold me fast. We're invited to focus on God's love, God's presence. He is with us. And he offers his presence right in the middle of these ordinary lives. So perhaps we could shift the brain, or ask God to shift our brain, from saying, what if, to even there. He isn't going anywhere. He is not like a person that leaves you. He's with you here and now. These verses also speak to the truth that God is present in and through history, generation after generation after generation. You and I are here. But there's generations before and probably generations after that are connected to us. And God knows the whole story, every hard, every beautiful part. And this can be kind of hard to reconcile, especially if your story carries pain. This psalm says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. If God knows, we might ask questions like, God, where were you when? What does he say to you? What do we believe when life is hard and the answers to suffering are complicated? If you and I were having a conversation about this, I might say, I think there's permission to ask hard questions with him, maybe with people who you trust, who know him, who know you. It can be hard in our humanness to understand some things. The past can be really hard to reconcile, and the future feels pretty uncertain. One way to anchor our mind is to read the Bible. We might read a verse like, okay, I believe, help my unbelief, which is kind of like saying, I want to believe you are trustworthy, help me. Or 2 Chronicles 20:12, which I love, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you, which is kind of like saying, I don't know what to do here, but you do. Help me keep looking to you. Or Hebrews 13:5, which holds the promise, God is never going to leave you or forsake you. He will never walk off and leave you. We might not understand this whole story, but we can choose to trust. He's not an abandoning God. He's a present God, even when, even though, he is always in, with, beside, before, and around. And this psalm beautifully says, you hem me in, behind and before. We might think, okay, he's present. In life, we probably know, being present doesn't guarantee that somebody wants to be there. Sometimes in relationships, families, marriages, friendships, people think, I'm here, but I don't want to be here. I'm here, but I don't know if I love you. I've stayed, but I don't trust you. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's somebody close to you, present, but not present with love, trust, belief. And that can be part of the human existence too. And that can feel lonely, like isolation, rejection, even hopelessness. But God says something pretty radically different. He says in this passage, I am here and present in this moment, and I'm not going anywhere, and this whole story, the Bible, tells us it's because he loves us. He's not present just to observe us. With his presence comes his unfailing love. God delights in you. You matter. You belong. He is looking at you with inexhaustible love, meeting us right in the middle of our ordinary lives. I want to look at Ephesians 3, 16 to 21. This is a prayer that speaks about the depth of his love. And this translation up here is going to be from The Voice. Father, out of your honorable and glorious riches, strengthen your people. Fill their souls with the power of your spirit so that through faith the anointed would reside in their hearts. May love be the rich soil where their lives take root. May it be the bedrock where their lives are founded so that together with all your people, they'll have the power to understand that the love of the anointed is infinitely long, wide, high, and deep, surpassing everything anyone previously experienced. God, may your fullness flood through their entire beings Now to God, who can do so many awe-inspiring things, immeasurable things, things greater than we could ever ask or imagine through the power at work in us, to him be the glory in the church, in you. And in Jesus the Anointed, from this generation to the next, forever and ever. Amen. This is a prayer prayed in real time for real people, which is an important thing about the Bible, written in a real place in a real time. That timeline of eternity, right there. And we get to reread it for us in this time. Same word, same God, same truth, different context, different culture. God's epic story began long before we even had breath. And these verses tell us that God's love, it has no boundaries, which is incredible. No boundaries. He's the initiator. There is nothing we can do to get more love from him. He's already given us all of his love. Dallas Willard says, God is love. It's who he is. It's his very identity. Our love often has conditions. We got boundaries, expectations, rules. Instead, God offers himself, his presence, and holds out this invitation to us to respond. Do we believe that? Do we believe that he loves us? This is a God that didn't hold anything back, that pursues us in a way that we can never repay. He doesn't force, condemn, or shame. He invites. His love crosses boundaries, dismantles division, restores a relationship. Jesus didn't avoid or reject people. He went to them, and he welcomed them. These verses say his love has no limits. It's uncontainable and immeasurable. And if we spend time with Jesus, reading his word, connecting with people who know Jesus, if we learn to trust him, love can become the soil where our lives take root, the bedrock where our regular lives are founded. We're changed. Our pathways are forged on this foundation of God's love and his presence. Incredibly, his love surrounds us even before we realize it, even before we know about it, even before we respond to that love. His word reminds us that he's present and he's love. One way I think about his word is like as an anchor and a weapon. It tells us who Jesus is and what he offers right in the midst of this ordinary life, and it's kind of like an anchor. Hebrews 6:19 says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. In my work, we have this exercise called drop anchor. And it's about feeling grounded, anchored in the present, not in the future or the past. And God, he kind of offers this ultimate anchor in him and in his word. Perhaps the invitation in that is drop your anchor into the limitless depths of God's love and his presence, which is the safest place to be anchored. Sometimes the word can be like a weapon. It protects us. In psychology, a phrase we use often about thinking is, thoughts aren't always facts. Kind of like the brain's infinite loop of possibilities I mentioned, but his word, it's full of truth. It's trustworthy. Maybe we can't trust all of our own thoughts, but we can trust God. A quote I read a few years ago is that the word is alive, and the author is present. Even today, as we read his word, it's like he's alive and he is present. I love that. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any sword. His word is power, and he speaks through his word. What does he invite us to? How does his love and presence intersect with our regular, real lives that we have? Does his love and presence invite a response? When I was younger, I remember hearing someone speak on a passage that has become probably my favorite verse, maybe a life verse for me, which is Romans 12:1-2. And in it, we're invited to respond to God with our whole lives, which is what I loved about that song this morning. It was like, not half of our lives, no compromise, our whole lives. To surrender all the dislocated pieces and be changed from the inside out. That means everything. The overthinking brain, the uncertainty, the outcomes, the dreams, the fears, all the stuff we navigate and experience, his love and presence, to come in and change it. I love how the Message puts it. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God, and you'll be changed from the inside out. These words, take your everyday ordinary life, your real life, and place it before the one who knows and loves you as an offering, is worship. It's a response to His love and His presence and His mercy and His grace, and it's an invitation to bring your whole life, all of you, with eyes on Him. You're eating, sleeping, going to work, walking around life, placed before God. It says, fix your attention on God and be changed from the inside out. He invites us to these new pathways. He says, don't let the world and culture have the biggest impact on forming you. Don't let your internal algorithms be formed by culture. Instead, let His presence and love shape you. Becoming more like Jesus day after day in our ordinary life, our conversations, and our relationships. Some might say that this invitation is maybe the most important invitation we'll ever receive. We're invited to a relationship. Nothing else compares. What we do with the invitation and even the most everyday parts of life impacts what's ahead. And that's not meant to feel like pressure, but our daily decisions over time impact our pathways, our direction. And our direction over time impacts where we go, our destination. Repeated behaviors and inputs bring predictable outcomes and responses. And spiritual growth and formation, it doesn't happen by accident. It's intentionally being shaped by the Holy Spirit, renewed and regular, and often the most challenging places of lives, which are our ordinary lives, our conversations and relationships and our thinking, often over time, by intentionally saying yes to God. What we take in or focus on, it isn't neutral. We like to think it is. Renewing the mind isn't the same as positive thinking. It's intentionally focusing on the character and invitations from God so that we become people who carry His love, His presence. God doesn't often change us overnight, because wouldn't that be great? But gradually, He changes us as we repeatedly offer our minds, our lives, our actions, our thoughts, our hearts to Him. And as we accept these invitations to new pathways, kind of like new algorithms. Maybe that sounds hard, like a marathon, which seems to require strength and lung capacity. I don't run marathons, I never have. Our oldest son ran one this year, and I was like, oh, he's training pretty hard. But going back to the idea of His presence, He says, I am with you. In a sense, I'm going to give you the breath for that long run, the marathon. Hebrews 12:2 says, run with endurance the race that's set before, looking to Jesus. Fix your eyes on the one who has already fixed His eyes on you, and find out that He is good and trustworthy and faithful and kind. Thankfully, He doesn't say, go get your life figured out, that ordinary life. Change your thinking patterns, forge new neural pathways, and then come back. He says, right where you are, I'm with you, inviting you to be a person who carries the presence of love and presence and love of Jesus into your relationships and your neighborhoods, which are the ordinary parts of living. And isn't that what Jesus did? He physically came into the regular and the ordinary and is still working there. And in many ways, we are the regular and ordinary, but also the extraordinary, the hopeful, the anchored, the loved, the found. And He, through us, continues to carry that love and presence into a world that needs it. Sometimes I imagine, and I'm not totally sure if this is completely theologically sound, but I'm going to say it anyway. I imagine that God kind of says to those around him at the throne, you can imagine who you think God beckons to his throne, but he kind of says, come here, take a look at what's going to happen today in someone's regular, ordinary life. Look what happens when somebody encounters Jesus, when they experience the love and presence of God. Here's a person that's about to say yes to a relationship that's going to carve a new pathway, and it's going to ripple through eternity. There are people generations before you that have something to do with why you're here. And you will probably be the same for somebody else in future generations. What might God be inviting you to in this moment with the life you have in front of you? Let's come back to this idea of today, literally this day on the timeline of eternity. It's a special day. It really is. It feels ordinary, but every day is kind of like sacred in the middle of the ordinary. Maybe something stands out for you in this ordinary day. Maybe you already had a conversation today. Maybe we sang some songs, lyrics. Maybe there was a verse, a prayer, that community prayer. Something that feels to you like, oh, he's here. The gaze of the Creator, it's on you. The breath of the one who made you is refreshing you and reminding you of his presence in and with you. Maybe you've been in this marathon for a long time, that long obedience in the same direction, and he's been faithful. But perhaps you're here and you don't feel that. Maybe you feel numb. Maybe you remember his presence, but you don't really feel it. Maybe the voice of God's been kind of quiet for a while. Maybe you feel lonely or distant from a God that you once knew. Maybe in a sense you're on the sidelines of that marathon. Maybe you're here and you're skeptical of religion, the church, and people. Maybe you're not sure how you landed here today. Seems like you're really welcome in this space. All of that makes sense. We carry different things when we come into a group like this, when we walk through life, and some of us are navigating, carrying maybe hope today, maybe peace, maybe gratitude for this day and your families. But some are navigating grief or betrayal or loss. Some might be experiencing loneliness, heartache, questions, confusion. It's entirely possible that some families or couples fought in the car on the way over here this morning and are sitting beside each other feeling kind of silent, cold, and disconnected. With Jesus, I am so grateful that it's all welcome, accepted, seen, and known, all of us, our entire story from start to finish, all that we carry. He is all in. He doesn't bypass it. He doesn't wrap it up in a big shiny bow. He doesn't turn away. It's not too much for him. You are not too much for him. He is with you. We can't really fake it with God, and incredibly, we don't have to. We're free, which is pretty incredible. Yes, he is always pursuing. He is always present. He is always reaching. He is always accepting, but he doesn't force us. He's invitational. He's constant when everything else feels dislocated. He's forgiving when we need grace. He's faithful when we feel unsure. And through the Holy Spirit, he makes us more like him in the ordinary, the everyday, the neighborhood of our real lives. These are our relationships, our conversations, our thoughts. He is the beginning and the end. He is behind and before and around. And we can put our trust in a God whose love is inexhaustible, whose presence is encompassing, and whose invitation to a relationship is here right now in the context of this life. He's so worthy. He's so worthy of our lives. He's so worthy of our of our worship. He's worthy of the ordinary moments. He's invitational. I want to take a moment for us just to pray together. Randy and I were watching a bit of a conference online yesterday that was coming out of Bridgetown on the Holy Spirit, and it struck me at the end how they made so much space for people to just reflect and pray, and Scott had mentioned the same thing to me as before we pray together, just to take a moment, even of space and silence, to receive what God might have for you this morning. And it might be through some of those scriptures. His word is alive and he is present. It might be in a conversation that you had. But I feel like God is always, we believe God is always speaking, and he is here and he's in our midst. And so we want to pray together. But before we do that, I want to just invite you to reflect, what maybe is God saying to you? Maybe it's been something he said this week to you. Maybe it's something that only you and God know about. And I don't know if you guys do physical things here, but because I'm a visitor, I can get to ask you to do something that I might not ask people in a regular place that I'm always there. But I want us to think about doing something physical. So I'm going to give you a couple of options. As we get ready for prayer, just to quiet your hearts, quiet your minds, and in three different ways. One might be that you put your hands out. There's a technique or a strategy in one counseling modality that's called willing hands. And I always think it's kind of funny when we do it in counseling, because I'm like, you guys don't know that we do this in church, because we do this in church with our hands open. And it's a somatic response where the body actually tells the brain that I'm not at risk. I'm open. I'm receiving. And it's kind of cool that we kind of do that with God. We're like, I'm open. I'm open to what you have. I'm not closed. So you might want to put your hands out and just say, God, what do you have? But maybe you feel like, oh, I just need to kind of receive something. Maybe that's your hands on your heart. So feel free to do that. But maybe, and this was this morning as I was thinking and I was praying about it, I thought, maybe sometimes you feel like you need this. Just to kind of hold your own face and feel held and loved. I don't know what you need. So as we enter prayer, I just want to be silent and still and ask God. You don't have to manufacture something, just let Jesus speak to you. Maybe it's inviting you to receive more of his love, to experience more of his presence. Maybe it's changing something in your ordinary life, or just maybe it's gratitude. You know and he knows. Holy Spirit, come. God, you are so good. And you're so faithful. And you're so constant. In every season of our lives, from the beginning of time, before we ever took our first breath, you've been faithful, and you love us with an inexhaustible, boundaryless love that cannot be contained. It's beyond our comprehension. Thank you. Thank you that you give us this incredible invitation in unexpected ways into the ordinary parts of our lives to say yes to you. Would you show us? Where do you want us to say yes to you? Yes of more of you. We love you. We worship you. Thank you for your presence in our midst, for your presence in your word, and for how it speaks to our hearts. You are good. You are worthy of our worship, and you are worthy of our lives. Amen.